This is the Subcommittee on General Government. It is the Senate Special Subcommittee on General Government. It is Tuesday, June the 7th. We have changed our time. Some of you may have agendas that say 3. It was noticed appropriately. We've had that discussion. The official agenda notices it appropriately. And so I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5544, Office of the Governor. Invite Madam Chief of Staff to come up. I think the committee got the handout at the end of last week and has had the opportunity to study it. Madam Chief of Staff, I would start first. Let's see if Dallas has any guiding words of instruction.
Madam Chair, only to members of the committee, only to confess my typo on the second page of the recommendation. If you look for the PERS and AG rate reduction, the very last number in that little folder should say 432 and not 452.
I caught that, but I wasn't going to.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you mean you're wrong to be splashed?
Yeah. So, other than that, you have my recommendation.
Thank you.
And as does the governor's office.
Great. This is a work session, but there is some invited testimony. Commissioner Hyde has traveled all the way from Columbia County, and I know that he's going to have the opportunity to address the committee. But, Madam Chief of Staff, do you have any comments with respect to the LFO recommendation or anything that you would like to add to the panel's deliberations?
For the record, Teresa McHugh, Chief of Staff of the Office of the Governor. Again, I think the first thing is that we would respectfully disagree with the funding source for the Economic Revitalization Team as in the recommendation, and there was a reason it was put in the way it was, and we would still prefer that funding source, obviously, and still believe that the other funds portion of that especially should be restored. And then the only other piece would be that we have taken a look and we believe it is manageable for the general reduction, just as other agencies are taking, and we will manage within that general reduction. So
that's the $100,000 general reduction.
And obviously the PERS pieces and the other reductions are appropriate.
Thank you very much. With that, I am going. Oh, Senator Morse.
Questions. Thank you. The disagreement is with changing the agreement with the counties. So I'm just clear with that. On the Economic Revitalization Team.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, again, it was funded in the way that I think the governor, again, would continue to prefer the funding sources in the original recommendation.
Why don't you describe that, if you wouldn't mind?
If you go back to the original recommendation, it was a combination of lottery funds, general fund, and funds from certain agencies that are the most, if you will, associated with and have the most connection to the Economic Revitalization Teams.
Is that responsive, Senator Morris?
Thank you very much. That was exactly it.
Given that I have reason to believe that the counties may have some comments on this, and given that the former distinguished head of AOC is here, along with the executive director of AOC, I would invite Mr. MacArthur and Commissioner Hyde to come forward, or any combination of your folks, Commissioner, that you deem appropriate.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Commissioner Hyde from Columbia County, representing the Association of Oregon Counties.
I'm Mike MacArthur, the Executive Director of the Association of Oregon Counties.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Who's ever going to present first?
I would just like to say, with regard to the recommendations for changes around ERT, there's a couple of things that I think needed to be said. One is that the counties absolutely support ERT or whatever iteration they're going to have in the next biennium. But we were at the table when this whole concept was formed years ago with Governor Kitzhaber. And we were at the table with the special districts, the ports, the cities, the counties, and the state. It was a stakeholder group for economic development, which brought not only increased economy to our counties and cities, but to the state. And I'm a little baffled of why the funding is being pinpointed for the counties when in the governor's budget it was clear that the responsibility was more stakeholder-based. for funding, and rather than just out of the county's lottery distribution. And second, there's a lot of discussion around the distribution of the lottery proceeds and the 2.5%, which was the original deal with the counties. And there's discussion about, well, there's been an increase that wasn't anticipated, and now they're talking about line games, which isn't video lottery. It's horse racing, and if all of a sudden we have quarter horses racing, it's still horse racing. The deal was for video lottery, and it's still video lottery, and it's 2.5%. And I really worry about changing statutorily a deal that we all got into originally so that we can fund something that's stakeholder-based. When I think that if we spread this out between the stakeholder groups, we're not talking about a lot of money.
Commissioner, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to probe a little further on that, because it is my experience in this building that counties and cities are providers of shared services. And during the three terms that I've served here, there seems to be a sort of rolling misunderstanding about who plays what role and where the fiscal responsibility rests. You have raised a very interesting question. I'd like to pursue it a little bit, particularly while your colleague, Mr. MacArthur, is at the table, and that is of stakeholder participation. And I know I'm going a little bit far afield, and I'm sure Dallas will reel me in if I get too far out there. But one of the things that comes up is who the ultimate beneficiaries of some of these services are. And I'm thinking of other issues that have come before this committee that include GSPC and ERB, and whether or not the employer, I'm sorry, I've violated my own rule, acronym-free zone, the Employment Relations Board.
And the Government
Standards and the Government Standards and Practices Commission. And whether or not, when you're talking about it being stakeholder-based, is there a way to assess who the beneficiaries of any of these services are and to try to move funding to those beneficiaries in a way that puts part of this debate to bed so that we're not back here in the 07 session having exactly this same conversation?
Madam Chair, Mike MacArthur, Association of Oregon Counties. Indeed, we've had that very conversation with leadership. The counties, in principle, are not opposed to a stakeholder-based pay-as-you-go type system. It's my understanding that for those particular agencies that you described, the Employment Relations Board, Government Standards and Practices, the accounting, cost accounting methods don't make that possible. So we're open to and interested in becoming involved in a conversation about how the users of those systems would be the payers. Now, of course, this recognizing the state and the legislature did create those particular agencies and entities and draws up the rules by which they operate. But we believe that there needs to be a partnership with the state, and we're open to any conversation about that.
Thank you. I think I interrupted you, Commissioner, and I apologize. I just leapt on your stakeholder comment to see if maybe there was a way out of the collective woods, because we seem to have a lot of issues confronting the relationship between the state and the counties, community corrections, DAs, mental health delivery, commissions and boards where there are county beneficiaries or the county is availing themselves of the service, certainly the economic revitalization team, and I'm just trying to find a way to maybe frame the debate so that we can achieve a collective understanding and we're not here reinventing the wheel session after session after session. Ultimately, we serve the same constituencies, and just to figure out how we do that appropriately and effectively, and I'm just looking for your guidance.
Madam Chair, reflecting on the remark that I made earlier before you that we are your State Department of County Services, and when we talk about funding going to counties versus funding going to state, we're just talking about who's delivering the service and what services are chosen to be delivered. It all ends up in the same place, and that's with our common constituents. And so I think what we need to do is enter into a conversation about what's best for our common constituents. We're really all serving the same people and trying to do the best for them that we can with the resources that are available.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, we're talking about $1,742,248. Is that what we're talking about? That is at stake here. What is that money? What programs would that money go toward in the counties?
I think what I might do is, with your permission, Senator Morissette, invite Ray Knapp, who is the head of the Governor's Economic Revitalization Team, up to the panel. You don't have to leave, Mike. We'll just drag another chair up. The three of you may be able to help with the answers. And if you'd identify yourself, Mr. Neff, that would be helpful.
For the record, my name is Ray Neff, Director of Intergovernmental Relations, the Governor's Office. I think, actually, if I understood the question correctly, Senator Morissette, it was what if that $1.7 million was taken away from the counties, what would the counties have used to fund within the county system? And I think that's best answered by either Mike or Tony, if I understood the question correctly.
May I?
Please, Senator Morissette.
If you receive the money, what will that money be used for is my question. Or if you lose it, what are you going to lose?
Madam Chair, Senator Morissette, that money refers to funds that were referred to as the video lottery, 2.5%. Counties use that for a variety of purposes. It's dedicated by statute to economic development. That's the primary use, and we have some records about how that's used and how that's leveraged. There is tremendous leverage with those funds that creates jobs, that creates economic development, that brings return back to the state through the income tax as well as property taxes with the counties. But there's no easy answer there. It's used by counties in a variety of different ways that are important to the activities of that whatever that county has as a priority that needs additional funding. This related to economic development is often where it goes.
Clarification. As long as it's related to economic development, is that what you're saying?
That's a statutory prescription. Senator Morissette, that's a statutory prescription.
Yeah.
And I think just to add to this a little bit, I think that fact is where the nexus is. The idea that the economic revitalization team has been instrumental in many documentable cases of delivering economic development opportunities to the counties. I can think in Columbia County of several instances, one recently at Teven Brothers dock, where I think if you spoke to Mr. Teven, he would say that it was the economic revitalization team that pushed that project through the winning line. And so that's where the nexus is.
Madam Chair, I don't argue that. Of course, I was involved highly in that project. But I would remind you that when we get our tax dollars as a beneficiary of that particular project, we get 17%, special districts, cities, and the rest are divvied up. And not the least of which is the 40 jobs and the state general fund revenue that's a beneficiary of that project. So that's, again, what I mean by stakeholder-based. There is no doubt, and I think we stand fast in saying that ERT needs to be memorialized somehow in statute so we don't have to fight this project every year trying to look at this as a special project, that we need to have ERT as a standing body in the state. It's very valuable to all of the interest groups. However, it's the funding. I mean, you may not know as a committee, in the last session, the county stepped up with the regional rural strategies dollars and took ERT money out of the regional rural strategies dollars to make sure that it happened because it was important enough to us. In fact, Mike and I were the ones that kind of led the charge on that in the last session. When it was scheduled to just be cut and go away, and it was just too important to let it go. And hopefully we didn't set a precedent where the counties think it's so important that we're always going to pay for it. It seems like that's what's happening here, though.
Madam Chair, if I may, Mike MacArthur again, Association of Counties. I happen to serve on the Governor's Interim Committee on Industrial Lands and the difficulty of siting industry, and we traveled around the state and listened to panels of folks all over the state talk about economic development in their communities from Medford to Portland to Bend. And one of the things we heard consistently in that work was the importance of having people from the state agencies like the economic revitalization team there to help deal with the regulatory problems and the other issues that come up when you're trying to do economic development, trying to do a site and locate businesses in any community in Oregon. So we really value this tool, but we think it's a good tool for the state of Oregon. And we think that it ought to be funded in the way that the governor's budget conceived of it. And I appreciate Teresa McHugh's comments and disagreement with this budget recommendation. We wholeheartedly disagree also with this method of funding because it takes it solely out of county discretionary funds.
Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the economic revitalization team is a wonderful message And it's a tremendous tool to have the weight of the chief executive officer of the state of Oregon solidly behind economic development and have that tool available. So I speak very supportively of that. I'm wondering, in terms of financing, if, Madam Chair, if the alternatives might be discussed a bit, because I'm not comfortable moving this bill out as it is without some discussion of what the alternatives might be in terms of financing this. And then maybe also if staff could give us a little more explanation of how it was originally proposed in the governor's budget and what those alternatives might be.
Let's do it just in that order. Let's start with the, in reverse order, I meant. Let's start with Dallas giving us a little historical perspective, and then while we have this panel before us, maybe look at some alternatives.
Sure. If I may, Madam Chair, members of the committee and members at the table, correct me if my memory is incorrect. But when funding for this was discussed during the last session, we had this discussion, not at this table, I don't think, but in a conference room next door a number of times, or in the library, I don't remember which. But the end result was that it was cobbled together towards about the 23rd hour of the session, as I remember. Some general fund, some lottery funds, not out of the county's 2.5%, and some other funds that at that time were to come from a fund in the Department of Economic Development. I don't remember exactly the name of the fund, but it was a revolving loan fund of some sort, I believe. Correct me if I'm... Special Public Works Fund. Some fund that's in economic development.
Let's get this clear, because I think it's important. Was it Special Public Works or was it Rural Regional?
Special Public Works Revolving Loan Fund. That's considered to be the city's proportion of that.
Why don't you come up and identify yourself for the record? And
that's not working. From economic development, it's here too.
Madam Chair,
good afternoon, Kelly.
Kelly Frills with Department of Administrative Services. I think there were several iterations of what happened. What finally got approved was, like Dallas mentioned, there were general fund dollars. There were dollars out of lottery that were related to economic development and rural and regional strategies. In addition to that, there was support by ODOT, OECD, or Oregon Economic Development, and Housing and Community Services. So those three agencies contributed to that was kind of the agency piece of this. So there were three funding sources.
Let me just restate this so we're all clear. I'm saying this mostly for my own benefit.
Sure.
Some general fund.
Right.
Some lottery related to economic development, not out of the county's 2.5% share, but out of rural and regional. And
yes,
then
some nexus there.
Third leg on the stool was some money out of special...
out of agencies.
Agencies.
Okay. Economic development, transportation, housing, community services.
Good.
Madam Chair.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that's very useful. Thanks.
And if I may continue, Madam
Please.
Chair. In the budget note then, or not the budget note, but the budget report reflected that the legislature was expecting them the budget to come back in 2005 with a permanent funding solution, a funding stream. And what was proposed, what is proposed in the governor's budget, is pretty much a repeat, except for the lottery fund is just straight lottery fund, as I understand it. General fund, and then monies that come from ODOT, housing, and Department of Economic Development. Your staff recommended, has discussed this, and we have some problems with transferring monies from other funded agencies that have cash to this, because they're players when there are a lot of other players at the table. There are agriculture, DLCD, it's a long
DSL.
List.
Pardon?
It's Division of State Lands, thank you, and some others. So we felt that what you do is memorialize a permanent transfer out of those departments to fund this, and that's not what we were looking for. We look towards at out in the field trips and the like. Yes, cities are involved. The counties have the dedicated 2.5% for economic development. This issue is clearly economic development. Yes, it's in the state. It's also within counties and then also in other jurisdictions. The proposal we put forth was, it was like the one we had. We had discussed this last session also. Make it a part of the 2.5% keeps growing. That's a growing pot. And some of it was not anticipated with the 2.5% was, my understanding was to replace some lost revenues that took place when individual poker was introduced. But I'm repeating like history that was given to me, TP wisdom, if you will, over the campfire, word of mouth. So I wasn't here then. But that's the reason for our recommendation, is that a permanent funding stream that ties to economic development. The alternatives, of course, are all general fund, because then every other program in state government gets to compete for it. Some mix that would make sense, but we do not believe that state agencies that are funded out of revolving loan funds for housing, gasoline taxes for ODOT. Economic development, I'm not that close to its budget. It has loan programs and other things. We are open to other strategies, funding strategies, but it was the reason for this recommendation.
Well, that might be the perfect opportunity, because it certainly raises some interesting questions. Why it is, when there are multiple other beneficiaries, cities, ports, when there are other multiple beneficiaries, why the burden should fall on counties to pay for it, nexus notwithstanding. It also raises the question that if you're dipping into general fund, there is no connection, I would submit, to the Department of Human Services, for example, paying for economic revitalization. I would beg correction, and somebody, I'm sure, will give me an example. But perhaps the three of you could give some thoughts to what other sources of permanent funding might exist so we could put this debate to bed.
Madam Chair, Mike MacArthur, it seems to me that the sources that identified are fairly permanent. I don't imagine that lottery is going to go away very soon. Certainly the general fund is there. I don't know what isn't permanent about the funds that have been identified in the governor's budget.
I guess I maybe should be more precise. Is general fund appropriate when we're looking for a nexus with economic development? And that's probably subject to debate.
Madam Chair, with respect to my experience as a former county elected, a great deal of general fund goes into economic development at the county level.
Senator Morris, then Senator Morissette, and I see plays being called in from the sidelines. Let's start with Senator Morris.
Well, if we started out with a policy direction before we get into specific options, but if the policy direction was to share equally between counties and cities and focus on economic development, fungible monies, how would you recommend, or is there a recommendation that could be made that would get us to a pretty secure funding source?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't have one at the tip of my tongue, to be honest with you. Not at this point.
If your gaze shifts past him to me, I don't have an answer either, so we can all stare at Senator Morissette.
My question, go ahead. Did you have an answer before, Mike? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to add a bit of perspective and history, if I may, to this discussion of where it began. And it's my recollection that when the state wanted to establish a 2,000-bed prison in Ontario, that they recognized that there was going to be an impact on the community. And under Governor Kitzhaber, a group was convened to go to that area of the state and deal with the social and economic problems that growth in of state facility was going to cause in that community, to deal with some of the consequences. And that team then later became institutionalized as our community solution teams and applied in other situations and problems. And the idea was to coordinate between state agencies. And during the interim work group in between 97 and 99 that I served on to look at how we could make better coordinated decisions about investing in economic development, I remarked to the governor upon adoption of the plan that local government was happy to facilitate the opportunity for state agencies to talk to one another. And essentially, that's what happens with the Community Solutions Team. You get them all in the same room together, and they begin to talk across agency boundaries. You break down the silos. And that's what the ERT is. It's the idea for the state agencies to coordinate. So I think the state funding that from a general fund source makes sense.
Senator Morissette.
Okay, thank you. I think that the solutions team, I remember when that was started in Ontario, my daughter lives in, I remember the reason for that. I guess for this, maybe this is an inappropriate question, but in terms of the best use of the money, where is it better spent for economic development issues by the counties, or is it better spent by the state doing the big picture kind of thing? I mean, where are we going to get the most bang for the buck in terms of where this money goes in terms of... Now, that is aside from the fact that you have a prior claim to it, which is another issue that bothers me, the fact that we're not living up to our commitment. But go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator Morissette, the comment was made earlier that the 2.5% was for economic development, and that's how it's statutorily worded. But it seems to me that when lottery in general was being posed to the citizens of the state of Oregon, it was put to a vote, and it was put to a vote around economic development. And so, unless my figures are wrong, we have 2.5% for economic development, and the state has 97.5% for economic development. And I know that some of that has been now pared away for parks, and some of it's been put into schools. But there's still a percentage there that is dedicated to economic development that goes to the state of Oregon, a whole lot more than 2.5%. I worry about the counties owning ERT, and that's what's going to happen. These are state agencies that work with the counties, and if we end up funding it, there's going to be this potentially a backlash that, well, you guys work for us now, and they don't work for us. And we have a really, at least in my region, we have a really good system set up around ERT. And when there's a company like Thieben Brothers that was in trouble with a certain agency in his project, he came to the table, and that went away. All of the agencies saw the value in the project, and they worked around it, and together they made it happen. It wouldn't have happened without ERT. And I worry about the counties now thinking that they're their employees and they can direct them. Once you get into that political labyrinth, it becomes a disaster. We had that a few years ago with RDOs and the regional development officers, and the regional development officers ended up working with county commissioners and mayors, and it was just a constant political battle. And it's not something that I think we should be getting into. So that separation of county and state in terms of funding, I think is very important. It's really not something we're even talking about, but it's there, and I'd like to see it stay that way. And once you start funding it, you own it.
I'm going to invite Mrs. Penwell to come up to the table, and she's not prepared for this, so I apologize in advance, but after her long service at Oregon Economic and Community Development, she knows that budget just about as well as anybody in the room, I would submit. Here's the question that I'd like to discuss, have you discuss with us, and it is that all of us have had the opportunity, well, not all of us, two of us of the three have had the opportunity to look at Oregon Economic and Community Development's budget. And over time, at least, some of us have observed the proliferation of specific grants for specific purposes. If we are all in generalized agreement that the Economic Revitalization Team has great value to local government and to the state, and we look at the programs that are funded out of Oregon Economic and Community Development, and I'm thinking about things like over time, RDI, the Downtown Rural Development Initiatives, the Downtown Development, the Lean Workforce. These are large grants in the amount of $600,000, some upwards of that, that have gone to basically 501c3s or for-profit companies to perform different services. I'm thinking in a highly constrained fiscal environment, what if you traded some of those for the universally recognized economic revitalization team, and you just said simply, given that we don't see more money in the system, that we're going to rearrange our priorities and stop funding some of these pass-throughs to for-profit companies and say we're going to use some of these funding streams in Oregon Economic and Community Development and memorialize them as being the permanent source for the economic revitalization team? And I know that's a terribly loaded question, but I would just like your rumination on how many of those project-specific pass-throughs exist in OECD, Oregon Economic and Community Development, where the legislature might choose to reprioritize and find a permanent source.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Doris Penwell, and I work with the Association of Oregon Counties, but for many years worked for the Economic and Community Development Department and a lot of time in this building. Things have changed over time. This last biennium, I think some of the funding for some of the organizations that Senator Johnson speaks about were diminished very much, if not completely, because of, for one reason or another, by the department. So it's a little hard for me to say now in the current budget discussions whether some of those things that were not funded but are now in the budget should be not funded and then this entity be funded. I think the department, economic development, really does rely on the ERT to do a lot of work that they can't do themselves because they are not in charge of state agencies.
I guess what I'm asking more bluntly is if ERT has the premium that it has, and that seems to be a given,
yes,
then would it be inappropriate for the legislature to look for some leadership on the part of the agency to say, out of our budget, we think that we can come up with $1.7 million, whatever the number is, in order to fund what is demonstrably a tool of economic development where the benefit inures to local government as well as state government?
Madam Chair, I guess I have to say, in the current budget from the governor's perspective, they already were contributing a considerable amount of money.
$390,000.
And I think that's less than they contributed in this current biennium. So I don't think there's anything wrong with discussing with them a major contribution from the department. It's just that in the governor's perspective, they thought they ought to spread it out a little bit. And I understand why, because everybody benefits, not just the Economic and Community Development Department, but definitely cities, counties, ports, special districts, you know, that work with them. So I think there should be some discussion about that, and it's appropriate.
Any questions for Mrs. Penwell? Thanks very much.
Good. Thank you.
I guess the direction that I'm heading in is to say if this is a major tool of Oregon Economic and Community Development, maybe stop looking for a contribution and looking for full funding.
Yeah. I would agree, Madam Chair.
Anything else?
Madam Chair, I would like to add one other thing for this discussion, and that's to revisit the origination of the 2.5%. You recall that in 1991, when the state was considering video lottery, that the authority to regulate gaming resided with the counties as well as with the state. And there was quite a discussion about that in our circles, and county commissioners voted reluctantly. Some were very reluctant to give up that authority in exchange for 2.5% to be used for economic development at the local level. And I think you've heard Commissioner Hyde talk about how important it is to have that capacity at the local level to be able to do that. We believe that agreement applies to whatever type of game is played on the video lottery terminal. Obviously, they're just changing the chip from video poker to video to slot machines, and so there'll be an exchange of games that are played there. But the like Commissioner Hyde said, the function's the same. So I think it's important to recognize what that agreement was about. I have a county commissioner right now that wants that authority back. It would advocate that counties be allowed to go into gaming for their own purposes. I think City of Eugene lost a court case about that. So we think there's an important recognition that this 2.5% for economic development at the county level is an agreement that needs to stand. Now, if there's question about negotiating a share of contribution here, we're willing to talk about that. But those funds need to be identified outside of video lottery receipts.
Thank you, Mr. MacArthur. As all I'm going to say is noted for the record, that debate is going to take some shape outside of this panel. And while it is probably appropriate for the discussion, I think other than just noted, we're going to let that sit there. Mr. Knapp or Commissioner Hyde, anything else that you would add?
Madam Chair, with regards to this proposal, I think it's important to reiterate what Mr. MacArthur said, in that we do consider ourselves a stakeholder in ERC, and we do consider ourselves culpable, if you will, in the funding end of it. And we would certainly entertain discussions, in particular because if it comes out of the recommendations of this committee, then my testimony that it's all going to come out of the hide of OECD, and I have to face my colleagues on the commission.
Ah, yes, I forgot. You wear another hat. Forgive me.
So I wanted to note and reiterate that we're perfectly willing to talk about the county's share in the cost and how we can memorialize that and make ERT a permanent funding source. We'd be happy to have that discussion.
Well, I think what I'm going to ask Dallas to wrap. Senator Morrison.
Yeah, I want to go on record as totally supporting the county's position on the 2.5%, and it bothers me a little bit that the state of Oregon has once again reneged on its stated duties at one point, and that's the AAAs that the county took over from the state. There's not equity in funding those programs. Corrections is another disagreement or reneging on the part of the state. There's not adequate funding. Counties are giving it back. I guess, and I also say that I do not represent the state of Oregon. I represent my constituents, and I'm concerned about the lack of local control, the giving up of authority on a promise that you're going to get equity someday. I don't believe it, and so I do support in principle very strongly what you're proposing, and I think that 2.5%, you are entitled to that. You had control of water at one time, or at least you thought you did, and you gave that up for 2.5%, and so I support your request based on that principle. Just want to say that for the record.
What I think I have heard is several different suggestions, and I'm going to read off what I think I heard in no particular order. Funded 100% out of OECDD, that would be one. Two, some combination of agencies, general fund, and lottery. The third one would be out of the county's 2.5, just as is presented in the LFO recommendation. Another one that has not been clearly articulated, but certainly at least the aroma of it is in the air, maybe broadening the contribution to stakeholders that one could assume would include cities, ports, special districts. I think what it amounts to is some kind of serious creative thinking and some recommendations. I don't think that it's enough for counties to simply say, not out of our 2.5, thank you, and abandon the debate, and that's not to suggest that you have, but I think that we're probably not going to move this today, but I think what you have heard is a desire to come up with some creative alternative, or I would say that the LFO recommendation is probably what's on the table and in all likelihood what may move. At least from the chair's perspective, I think there's a sense of urgency here to find something more thoughtful than just not out of our money. And I completely trust Mr. MacArthur and his very capable staff to continue to soldier away on some other recommendation that could come to this panel and then pass co-chair muster and move through the full, whatever passes for full ways and means at whatever date we do this, and on to the respective chambers. Senator Morse.
Thank you. I guess a question looking at an alternative here in the OECDD Oregon Development Fund, and as it's broken down between general fund, which there is none, lottery funds, we have a pretty substantial increase in lottery funds proposed. What would be the county's position if we funded economic revitalization out of those lottery funds, just took them right straight out of off the top, that are in the categorized in the Oregon Development Fund? Wouldn't that apply pretty equally across the board to all of the affected parties?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, I cannot pretend to speak for counties without caucusing in some form on that, so maybe the director can do that. He holds more authority over the counties than I do.
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, I think what we're looking at there is lottery is scheduled in the governor's budget to go to certain functions now, so I think it's an appropriate source. I agree with your premise. The question is, what wouldn't be funded at this point? And I think that you need to look at the balances, the puts and takes that occur when that happens. But I think that should be added to Madam Chair's list.
Give us some examples of what the puts and takes. I mean, running down the trail ahead of us, what things that you can immediately think of would be in jeopardy?
Well, I assume that you would look at lottery-funded programs for economic development, more narrowly defined like those in the Economic and Community Development Department. Of course, you know what those major sources or major expenditures are. You've got the Rural Regional Fund, you've got Strategic Reserve, you've got the interest from some of the revolving loan funds that are available as well. And then, of course, you're investing in education.
SBW, there's a number.
You can't touch that, Madam Chair. The education, that's not fungible. Is it? I don't think so. That's constitutionally dedicated, isn't it?
That portion of it, yeah.
Yeah. But the education direction.
The stability fund.
The stability fund is directly. Yes. Right.
That's outside.
No.
That's not in.
That's not in this. No, you're correct.
All right, unless there are any other questions for this distinguished panel, I'm going to thank them.
Can I get a couple more things on the record, not related to exactly that issue, but the governor's budget?
Absolutely. I was just going to invite Ms. McHugh back up and ask her both to respond to anything that she has heard in this discussion, and then our professional staff has a couple of other comments with respect to the governor's budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, again, obviously there's more conversation that can take place, and I appreciate the support, frankly, from the committee on the value of the economic revitalization team to the state. And obviously we can look for different sources. I would respectfully say I think the governor would have as many comments on the Economic and Community Development Department budget as well. It was not just set there to fund other things during session, but took reductions during the governor's process is obviously going through the same kind of review here. And so if that budget is going to go through a review that we talk about the puts and takes, we would do that separately from actually going in and looking for a way to move money. Are there things that we all are going to negotiate with on that budget and then talking about it from there? So I just would say he also would have some strong feelings, I think, about what's in that budget as well.
I think that's completely fair, and given that two out of the three members of this committee still have that budget ahead of them, I just at least wanted to add that to our options list, recognizing that there may be strong feelings about that as well. Okay, I'm going to ask you to remain. Dallas had a couple of other comments about the governor's budget.
Just to get this water under the bridge so we don't have to revisit it with respect, we had some recommendations with respect to the performance measures. And what we had offered up was a accepting these as interim. We've had some discussion with the chair, and he thinks his suggestion was the ones with rest and return, maybe combining those into one kind of outcome-oriented. They're very good for internally managing the rest and return, but maybe converting that into one. We had some discussion about blending the two of them with respect to economic revitalization team. Your staff would still like to keep numbers 2 and 3 separate because one of them had to do with the 25 sites that were specified in the statute. We think that ought to be a standalone one because at some point that'll go away. And then have them continue with a number of new sites. But these are still under refinement. So I just wanted to get that on the record with the committee's indulgence, and I would make those suggested changes that we agree with the arrest and return, but specific for internal management, we ask them to refine it and come back with one or two.
Actually, what we might do is instead of just setting all of this budget aside to work those issues where there is common agreement and be sure able to put them on the shelf, and that would include certainly the performance measures. So if we passed on the funding of the economic revitalization team, set that aside, moved into the PERS and the public employees retirement system and attorney general rate reductions, we could go ahead and work these.
Great.
The chair then would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on the public employees retirement system and attorney general rate reductions as recommended by LFO. So moved. Any objection? So ordered. The chair then would accept a motion to receive the LFO recommendation on the unspecified reduction for the governor's office of $100,000.
Question.
Senator Morse.
As I recall, there was some difference in the House with respect to this issue. Can you address that, Bob?
Oh, sure. There's a sizable difference. The difference in the House is there's a 3% out of supplies, services and supplies that would amount to about $57,000 or so, if my last, I've got the calculation in my office. Because okay. And there's also a $1 million unspecified reduction that is in the House budget plan. So there will be significant differences between the Senate version of the governor's office budget and the House version.
I would still entertain a motion, and if we can't come to agreement, all right. Is there objection? You have moved the LFO recommendation on the Senate recommendation that there be a $100,000 unspecified expenditure reduction in the governor's budget. And is there objection?
Madam Chair, I would object simply because of the issue of reconciliation.
Out of courtesy to Senator Morris, I am not going to act on this. If you would withdraw your motion, and we'll set this aside as an unreconciled issue, and we'll get back to it. And then on the performance measures, the chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation with the blended arrest and return and the blended...
Just the blended for ask them to come back with one for the rest and return and keep the ones they have for specific internal management of it.
Okay.
And then that they will come back with developed ones for minority and women, the women emerging small business function and affirmative action function. They had come forward, if you remember, in phase two, identifying that they have plans to develop performance measures for those two activities. So it's just the arrest and return we would change the recommendation from accepting all of them as accepting them for them to be used internally, but ask for purposes of legislative review that they come back in during the interim and with one.
And while I have no objection to that, I would note, again, coming back to the relationship between the Economic Revitalization Team and the Oregon Economic and Community Development budget, why it is that it appears that we're putting the number of new industrial sites certified as project ready completely as a responsibility of the Economic Revitalization Team, and why that responsibility isn't shared with Oregon Economic and Community Development, because you may not be able to be held totally accountable for a failure of the agency to discharge their part of the responsibility, and that's faintly worrisome that you should accept a responsibility against which your performance will be measured that you're not completely in control of.
Madam Chair, I think the first thing I would say is as we look at performance measures across most of state government, there's an awful lot of things that we hold ourselves accountable for, use them as measures that an agency isn't in complete control of. And the measures are designed to make sure that they have an opportunity to come back here and be seen. It is our view, you could put it in that budget as well, but it is our view that this makes sure that this is reviewed by the legislature and the underlying factors, if we don't achieve it or if we do better than what we're attempting to achieve, the underlying factors in terms of what's happened across state government will come out in that hearing. So we
if Madam Chief of Staff is satisfied, far be it from me to take exception to that. So
I would move acceptance of the performance measures as iterated by staff.
Okay. Senator Morris moves the performance measures as articulated by LFO. Any objection? So ordered.
One other item, Madam Chair. You may have it. I didn't hand it out to you before. We didn't have it available. It's in the back of the staple one in front of you. You had asked for information on the cost of air transportation instead of ground transportation to outlying areas. That's been provided. This is informational. We have no recommendation with respect to that at this time, but we wanted to make it available to you. We will make it available also. It will be made available to the House committee that will take up this budget on Monday morning.
Good. I'd like to just add for the record that perhaps given my background in aviation, this is an issue that has been particularly compelling to me. I think that the chief executive officer of the state of Oregon, regardless of the political affiliation, should have access to adequate, safe, reliable, well-maintained air transportation. And under no conditions are the people in Portland, who are only 52 miles away, do they have any deeper claim on the governor than the people in Pendleton that are 5 hours of driving time away. I think we need to have our chief executive department nimble, respectful of the efficiencies of air travel, and I would like to leave this session with some accommodation made to provide the kind of appropriate mechanism to get our governor not relying on the largesse of the private sector or on having to tour military bases with each time he sets foot in a military aircraft. So I'm delighted to have this information, and I think it's something that we ought to continue to work towards. So thank you for this information. Any other comments, Ms. McHugh?
No.
Dallas, any other words of wisdom?
No, Madam Chair, except if you'll remember next week, the Senate, the afternoon subcommittees will start convening at 1 p.m. Now that the other Senate committees have been wound down, that we no longer have the scheduling conflicts that caused these to be meeting at 3 p.m.
Okay, so let's say again, the general government subcommittee will meet at 1 p.m. starting next week.
That is correct.
Monday of next week.
Okay. And that is the first time that we are together again.
That is correct, Madam Chair. The schedule will be for the Secretary of State to be up at
Secretary of State.
And I'm not sure that this will be ready to come return at that date.
Okay. Any concluding comments by the panel? If not, I am going to close the work session on
Senate Bill 5544.
5544 and declare us adjourned until Monday at 1 o'clock when we take up the Secretary of State.
Thank you. Madam Chair. Thank you.